Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, and where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Depending on how you grew up and your environment and your influences, you can learn how to be a failure. You can learn how to be negative. And, if everybody around you is talking and acting and experiencing the same thing, you can think, well, this is just life. This is just normal. But for the child of God, losing is not normal. Amen. Failure is not normal for the child of God. If as a child of God, you're experiencing failure, loss and defeat and being overcome, something's wrong. Yes. Something's really wrong. And it's time to seek God until you find out. Amen. Hmm? And what many have done, though, instead of that, instead of taking some responsibility for your own life, people have said, well, it's God. Everything is, it's all God's mysterious will and ways. We don't understand it. But you mean all the destruction and all the pain and all the cruelty and all the failure and all the, that's God? Really? There can't be any other factor. It has to be God's fault. Never occurred that maybe we didn't do something that we could have, should have done? No, don't believe it. I know it's popular to believe that everything that happens is somehow God's plan and will, but it is not true. It is not true. Remember what the Lord told us, what we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, if everything that's happening on the earth is already the will of God, nobody needs to pray that. Huh? Why would I need to pray that the will of God would be done? Just like in heaven. Well, how much horrible things are going on in heaven? No. And, he taught us, he said, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He said in Ephesians, well, if everything that's happening, I don't need discernment to understand the will of God. I just wake up and look. Is that right? That's the will of God. And the Bible said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Well, I don't need discernment. I don't need revelation to see what's the will of God and what's not the will of God if everything is the will of God. Are y'all with me, class? Yes. No, don't. The reason I keep saying this is because millions of church-going people, either through just not wanting to hear the truth or just not knowing it, are being robbed every day of their life because they are attributing all manner of bad things to God, and it's actually slander, to accuse a good God of the kind of things they're saying he's doing. There's a devil around. Yes. I said, there's an enemy. Yes. There's a devil. And then people have a free will. And between man's free will and the stealing, killing, destroying of the evil one and all of his bunch, that's why bad things are happening in the earth. Don't call it the will of God. Amen. Well, Father, we don't. We don't attribute bad things to you. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from you, and we thank you for that. And we open our hearts and minds today to you, to your Spirit, to your Word, and we ask you for utterance, anointing, grace, answers, and help. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Said out loud, everybody. When I say everybody, I'm looking in the camera here. Said out loud, I'm getting answers.
I'm getting answers.
I'm getting help today.
I'm getting help today.
I'm getting answers.
I'm getting answers.
Today,
in
Jesus'
name.
We've been on a series for a number of weeks now that we're calling Faith for Provision. We're going one by one through 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure, why we are fully persuaded, completely convinced, that abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Say it out loud. Abundant provision.
Abundant provision.
Is always,
God's will,
for us all.
For us all.
Say it again. Abundant provision, is always, God's will, for me.
For me.
Is it God's will for you and your family to have plenty?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Have a good place to live.
Yes.
Good clothes to wear.
Yes.
Plenty to eat.
Yes.
Good way to travel. Good way to get around.
Yes.
Whatever your profession is. Good tools, good equipment. Is that right?
Yes.
Have your own business, churches, ministry. Is God able?
Yes.
He's more than able.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He's more than enough. And so we begin by reason number one, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, I shall not lack. And if you got the best shepherd in the universe, you should be well provided for.
Amen.
You should be well cared for. And we are. And we've gone through reason after reason till now. We're down all the way to reason number 20 in our study. And if you weren't with us for the previous 19, you do not need to miss out on those. Go to faithschool.org on the internet, faithschool.org. Hundreds of previous lessons on faith are right there waiting on you. No charge, no cost. Take advantage of them. Our number 19 that we looked at was the tabernacle and how that God said, told his people, bring me an offering. And he did not want cheap stuff. He did not want junk. He wanted gold, pure silver, the finest leathers, the finest fabrics, the finest gemstones, and the list goes, the finest woods. And this is a portable sanctuary, a tent. And by today's money, they spent anywhere from 150 to 200 million on this thing. And they had so much coming in through the offering, they had to tell the people, stop. We got too much. We got too much. So literally over a ton of pure gold and then all the other things. But you got to remember, where is this coming from? This is coming from God's people that he just delivered that a matter of what, months ago, were slaves. Really?
Yeah.
Now, any empire that's ever had any slave population, how many of them had a bunch of gold and silver and jewels? Huh? Where did this come from? How did they get this? This is God's plan and will, and he never changes. In Psalm 105, look at it again. Psalm 105 and 37 tells us, he brought them forth. Now this is all the Israelites, that's some, 3 million or so people that had been, they and their forefathers had been slaves in Egypt for centuries, hundreds of years they've been enslaved. And now, overnight, they come out.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And Pharaoh and, you know, the his house and the rulers were never going to let Israel go. But they did through a series of signs and wonders that God wrought. And the Bible said he brought them forth also with silver and gold. I like that word also. God's also God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He can save you.
Yes.
He can deliver you.
Yes.
Also,
yes.
He can heal you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Also,
yes.
Silver and gold.
Yes.
Somebody say also, also.
Yes.
And there was not one feeble person among their tribes. And we shouted yesterday's class about how that happened with the Passover lamb. Absolutely miraculous. That God could heal everybody who needed it and everybody who was weak and infirm and injured or whatever and unable to travel out of this hundreds of thousands of people, that something happened the night that they observed the Passover, and as they're in their house, bags packed, ready to leave. You see, that's a faith action, right? Because there's nothing from Pharaoh telling you you're going to leave tonight. But if God says we're leaving tonight, then we're leaving. And even if you were physically unable to travel, maybe you've been as a slave back many years ago, had a leg broken or something else, and it was not tended to correctly or something and didn't grow back right, and you've been crippled for years. You can't travel. You can't move around. Maybe you've just been doing stuff around the households and that kind of thing. But God says, no, we're all leaving. We're all leaving. We're all traveling. Pack your bags. Get dressed. Put your boots on. And something miraculous happened throughout their tribes until when they left, not one. Somebody say not one. Do you believe the Bible or not? Not one. Not one. That meant it wasn't God's will that a one be feeble and sick and broken. It's still His will today. Regardless of how things are, that doesn't change His will the way He wants them to be. People say, well, yeah, but if it was God's will, it would be done. If it was God's will was done, everybody'd be saved. Amen. Everybody'd receive Jesus. Yes. And we'd finish this thing up today. Yes. No, people have a free will and the devil's at work. And so a lot of things that are God's will are not happening because He doesn't have the cooperation. And He's not just going to force you to do it against your will. That's the way the enemy is. And so skip down to verse 42. Verse 42 in Psalm 105 says, He remembered His holy promise and Abraham His servant. And He brought forth His people with joy and His chosen with gladness. I guess so. Right? I mean, after generations of slavery, and here you are leaving and you're not dragging with your head down. I mean, you are head up, shoulders back. You a free man. You're a free woman. And you just got healed. Hallelujah. And that hip that hadn't worked right for the last 5 years feels wonderful. And we can go anywhere we need to go. And my heart's working right. I'm not feeble. I'm not weak. And I am loaded with money. I got monies. And I'm on my way to the promised land. Hallelujah. Orchards and vineyards and houses. And this is nothing short of a dream. Right? A dream come true. And the Bible says it happened because God remembered His promise and Abraham, His servant. Oh, one of the big qualities about God is His faithfulness. He is the faithful God. I mean, He keeps covenant and mercy to 1,000 generations of them that loved Him. And what I'm talking about, that's 1,000 generations back to the one that loved Him to start with, like Abraham. Amen. You know, the Lord reminds me from time to time that about the prayers of my grandmother and about others in my life. And we're going to be blessed and surprised maybe when we get to heaven to find out who was in our life, in our family, many generations before we never knew them. But I've been aware at times in my life that God's answering prayers of my grandmother and my forefathers in my life today. Not just about something I have done, but He never forgets anybody that was faithful to Him. And so He remembered His holy promise and Abraham His servant, and He brought forth His people with joy. Is that still God's will today? Oh, what joy. Hallelujah. When you've been saved, when you've been cleansed, when you've been delivered. And it's joy when you've been healed. It's joy to feel good.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Is it or not?
Yes.
It's what you can't buy health.
No.
You can't buy healing. It's joy to be free from something that's been bugging you and hurting you and pain and limiting you. Is it God's will for you to have this joy of being healed? And it's joy when you're not behind on your bills and you're not struggling. But man, not only do you have way more than enough to do everything you need to do, but you're sowing, you're giving, you're blessing others, you're helping others' dreams come true, others' needs. Is this joy or is this joy? This is joy. Joy. And they came out with joy and gladness, verse 44, and he gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people. What people? Sinners. This reason we're talking about now is reason number 20 in our study of 30, and we're calling it reason number 20. We're sure abundant provisions, always God's will for us all, because of the wealth of the sinner. Now we're going to see as we look in Scripture, Proverbs, for instance, says that the wealth of the sinner is laid up, stored up for the just. And that is exactly what happened in these two instances that are referred to in this psalm. One was when they left, they were enriched in the millions. And then he's got them on their way to inherit, according to Scripture now, houses they didn't build, filled with all good things that they didn't fill, orchards and vineyards they didn't plant. Well, who planted them? Who built them? Who did all the work? Sinners. The ungodly. Idol worshipers. And this went on for generations. But now, at this juncture, God says, okay, the promise I made to Abraham has come up before me. And we're going to see, I'll talk about this maybe at some other point, but that the iniquity of these people is full and done. And God brought these riches and resources into the hands of his people. And it happened, it's not something they did, it's something he did. And it happened all at once.
Amen.
Now go to Genesis, if you would, the 15th chapter. Because this is the promise that he's referring to in Psalm 105. Genesis 15. Now Genesis 15 is where Abraham cut covenant with the Almighty God. The Lord told him to get certain animals and to sacrifice them, and in fact, cut them in half and lay the halves out on opposing sides. And so then there is the blood of this, the blood of the sacrifices. And then once when Abraham had done this and some hours had passed, a deep sleep fell on him. And I'm sure God is enabling him to perceive spiritual things. And so God comes through the sacrifice pieces and the blood, and he speaks to Abraham and entering into covenant with him. Somebody said, well, what's that got to do with us? We are the seed of Abraham. And when God does things, it's forever. Hallelujah. I mean, he doesn't do nothing things that wear out and fade out. And so part of what he told his friend and his covenant partner, Abraham, in this, that's why they call it cutting of the covenant, because there is a cutting and there is bloodshed. And he said in Genesis 15:13, he said to Abram, know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Now this is, as you just got through seeing, four centuries before. Abraham is getting revelation of what's going to happen 400 years from now in his life. And what had just happened is God told him, and he told him before and told him after this, all the land that he could see in that area, he said, I'm giving you and your descendants. Now, it didn't belong to Abraham personally in his lifetime. He didn't have title to it. It wasn't his. He was a traveler through it. But God told him, no, I've given it to you. It's yours. And it is part of what Israel is inhabiting to this very day. And he showed him all of it. But then he tells him that what's going to happen next is that your seed, your descendants, will be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. Well, since they weren't in that land that he's in, they were in Egypt. And he said, they will serve them, and they, the Egyptians, will afflict them for 400 years. And also, that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward, they will come out with great substance. Is God Jehovah Jireh,
yes,
the God who sees ahead,
yes,
and provides the supply? When this is real to us, we will stop our silly worrying.
Yes.
We will. Yes. We will stop our fearing and fretting. Didn't the Lord tell us in Matthew 6, don't say, what are we going to eat?
Yes.
What are we going to wear? What's he say? Don't say this. Why? Because that is the language of doubt and questioning God. Will God be there? Does he even know? Are you joking?
Right.
Does he know? He's God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Not only does he know, he's not trying to get you up any provision today. That was all set.
Yes.
Centuries,
yes,
ago. Millennia. Oh, come on. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Millennia ago. God saw you before you were ever born. He knew his plan for your life before you knew there was such a thing as a plan.
Yeah.
And he already saw ahead and provided the supply. People and money and things and equipment and favor and opportunities. All of it. God already knows. Already knows. Already has in his power. Already been moving on it when you were bouncing on your mama's knee.
That's right.
You're with me or not?
Yes.
If you believe this, you go, ha.
Yeah.
Well, then we got it made.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, God's got us.
Yeah.
Somebody said out loud, God's got me.
He's got me.
From start to finish.
Everything in between.
God's got me.
God's got me.
Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes.
He's got me taken care of.
Yes.
He's got me provided for. All I got to do is listen.
Yes.
Not ignore him.
Yes.
Not disobey him. Not do my own thing. Just follow him. Every day, get up. Follow him.
Yes.
Stay with him. And everything else is taken care of.
Amen.
That nation whom they will serve, I'll judge. I'm going to judge them, he said. And afterward, they'll come out with great substance. This is the promise that's referred to in Psalm 105. You know. And man, one thing you got to know about God. When he gives his word, when he commits himself with his word, he will never forget. And you can be sure, one way or another, that's going to happen.
Yes.
Whatever he has to do, he keeps his word.
Yes.
You can count on it.
Yes.
And he's telling Abraham, his friend and his covenant partner, he said, now, you know, It's not going to look good for a while. 400 years. Now to us, we're thinking, 400 years. But to him, that's not even half a day in God time. But he said, you know, first part of the day, it's going to be, it's going to look kind of rough, you know. But before the day's over, before the day's even half over, I'm going to judge that nation that has mistreated your descendants, and I'm going to bring them out with great substance. So when he asked for an offering, nobody could tell him, God, we can't afford that. He had it planned 400 years ago. Is that right? And before that, he knows what you've got because he put it in your hands. You can't give what you don't have. And you'll hear people say, they contradict themselves. Oh, no, you don't need to be rich. That's not right. That's not godly. But then they'll turn right around later and say, you need to give. You need to give and help people. With what? Right? With what? How much can the poor help the poor? You can do something, but not much. No, it's God's will to have abundant resources. Way more than enough for your personal stuff so that you can give. You can give to the kingdom and you can give to people in need. Somebody say, it is God's will.
It is God's will.
I have abundant resources.
I have abundant resources.
And be able to give.
And be able to give.
He said, that nation whom they serve, I'll judge, and afterward they'll come out with great substance. And, well, my time's up again. I better close it up before I start again. I get to shouting on the next verse. Said out loud, I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome this world by faith. And that overcoming includes overcoming sickness, depression, sin, poverty. It includes, somebody say, I overcome.
I overcome.
I overcome.
I overcome.
All poverty
and lack
in Jesus' name.
Glory
be to God. We'll see you again soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.